Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the fourth chapter, verses 21 through 30. Listen for God's word. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? Jesus said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you do at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow of Zephrathah in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. There truly is no place like home, is there? Jesus comes back to his hometown, and this scripture is the continuation of the passage that we began with last week. You know, Jesus has been baptized in the Jordan. He has now made his way through Galilee, stopping along the way to teach in various synagogues. But Luke only says of that experience that Jesus was praised by everyone. For Luke, it is important to get to this business of him going home and his encounter with those people with whom he has lived the first part of his life. Luke skips all the details of the visits to Capernaum and other places, only to come back to them later in the chapter. Unlike Matthew and Mark, Luke puts this encounter in his hometown first. We surmise that is done to emphasize the points he makes here in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. Last week we centered on the passage when Jesus proclaims that he has come to fulfill the scriptures, and that he is proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is Luke's way of declaring Jesus' intent, his mission, his statement, his raison d'etre, if you would, his reason for being here, why he has come to earth. And it is to bring the good news to the poor, to release the captives, recovery to the sight of the blind, let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the long-awaited and long-sought-after year of the Lord's favor. And the people of Nazareth spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" The problem for us, it seems, or for them at that time, is this story takes a big left-hand turn, we might say, or a turn at any rate, on which many commentators seem to disagree. Now, if you read Matthew and Mark, the 13th chapter of Matthew, 54 through 58, and Mark, chapter 6, 1 through 6, the scripture says that the people took offense at Jesus because they knew he and his family. However, in Luke, the wording is very different. And no matter how hard we want the text to agree with Matthew and Mark, it just doesn't. Matthew and Mark write, "He left that place and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath they began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, 'Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter and son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. That is Matthew and Mark's, almost word for word for both of those books, what is said. In Luke, though, Jesus is the one who starts the argument and then amps it up. As much as we want the easier explanation of all three of these things describe the exact same happening, it's just not here. I mean, we like a nice, sweet Jesus who came and gave great words of wisdom to everyone, but they rejected him and Jesus went away. We would like that story. We like that story. It fits. It fits our view of who Jesus is. A really nice guy. He never started a fight, did he? He was always picked on. In Luke, though, they like him. His hometown people seem to like him, and they like what he is saying, and they believe that there is something powerful about this prophet that is in their midst. Luke writes, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from Jesus' mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? And then Jesus says, doubtless you will quote for me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you did in Capernaum. And he said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. Jesus throws it in their face. Now, why does Jesus pick a fight? Why is he so harsh on them? Is he here to maybe repay some old debts? Perhaps they had not been so kind to him as the different child that he most assuredly was. Perhaps Jesus heard all the rumors that I am sure circulated around a small town. Let's face it, we've all lived in small towns. We know what happens. Perhaps people still talked about Jesus' birth and maybe some possible indiscretions that people thought happened. Or perhaps the people sitting in that synagogue had heard all the stories from Capernaum and heard him speaking with such power and wisdom. And they wanted Jesus to come there and fix things for them. Now remember, they are gathered in Galilee. And as Nathan says later, when the disciples are coming together, can anything good come out of Galilee? Galilee was not exactly the garden spot of Israel. It was thought to be this backwoods, the backest of woods, places in the whole country. Perhaps the people hearing this thought, hot dog, we're finally going to be named for something good. We got a prophet. Other places got prophets. We've never had one. One of our own is going to be good, and that'll mean great things for us in the future. Perhaps we'll even get a nicer synagogue, and people will come from all over to visit. Perhaps we will get rich. Perhaps. I don't know what they were thinking, to be honest. And exactly what was going on, we don't really know. But I do believe that the root of the problem is not that Jesus was so well known in that town that the people knew everything about Jesus. That is the vibe that we get in Matthew and Mark, is that they feel like Jesus is putting himself above them. No, I think the problem is that Jesus knew more about them and knew them way too well. Perhaps he understood right away that they had no interest at all in bringing good news to the poor. They had nothing to do with releasing captives or working to recover the sight of the blind. In no way, shape, or form would they want to let the oppressed go free. I think Jesus understands that they have no interest in others. Why else would he tell them about Elijah and Elisha, prophets who were sent to the unclean foreigners and cured them and brought them into God's favor? They did not want to hear what Jesus was going to tell them, and he knew that before he ever spoke to them. He knew that he was here to help them understand who God really was, and that all that would ever get him is angry people who want to kill him. When they heard Jesus' words, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. How dare you talk about being a prophet to those nasty foreigners? They wanted to pitch him off the hill. But somehow Jesus just walked away. So what is it that we learn from this? Perhaps we should evaluate our reasons for coming to talk to Jesus. I think that all too often we in the Church of Jesus Christ today on our Sabbath come from the same place as those people in Galilee did on that Sabbath day so long ago. They came out to find out what God was going to do for them, instead of seeing what they could do for God and God's plan for humanity. Yes, yes, God, we want the world changed to be more like heaven, but only if you're going to change it the way we like heaven. You know, we want manicured golf courses, beautiful mansions with jacuzzis, or whatever dream scenario that we figure up for ourselves is what heaven is like, because it's all about me, isn't it? And everyone in here is saying, yeah, it's all about me. Except there's a lot of different me's in the room. I think the problem that we have today is just like the problem the people in Galilee had so long ago. They wanted a Jesus that would talk about fixing things the way they wanted it fixed. And instead of getting on board with Christ's plans to include all people, they were incensed that it wasn't God looking after them. And I think that we too struggle with getting into God's plan rather than getting what we want from God. What Jesus is asking for us to do is to change our wants to what God wants. This past week, we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I don't ever have that day come and go without thinking of a conversation I had with my wife several years ago. We were not in the South at that time, either, though Ohio seems to think they're Southern for some reason. We had to straighten them out a little bit. They didn't quite get that. We had a conversation about growing up in the segregated South, and this was, I don't know what the occasion was for it, but we talked about it and how difficult it was to really understand as children and what went on and everything about it. And at one point, she recounted a conversation she had had with someone she knew from her days in living in Mobile, Alabama. In that conversation, the woman said she loved living in Mobile. It was a great town, wonderful place, an easy place to live with lots of fun and happiness. Until Martin Luther King Jr. came to town. And I wrote this down later. Sorry, I want to make sure I got your quote right. The woman said, "He ruined everything and made the city all messy." I think sometimes we, like the people in Galilee, see Jesus in exactly that same light. What a wonderful little life we have here, until that old Jesus guy gets in the way and wants us to do something different. Now, how dare Martin Luther King Jr. come and preach about the good news for the poor, release of the captives, opening the eyes of the blind, freeing the oppressed, proclaiming the long-awaited year of the Lord. How dare he mess up that nice little city for a person who was not oppressed, was not poor, was not a captive, not blind, although perhaps she was, and absolutely had no desire for a long-awaited year of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that Martin Luther King Jr. was Christ, but I will say he did a lot of Christ-like things. In this case, it seems like in Mobile, Alabama, he afflicted all the very comfortable people so that those who were afflicted could be comforted. I cannot read the Gospel of Luke without thinking of this story of Mobile. Luke wants us to hear that is exactly why Jesus came. That is why he wants to put this episode of Galilee and whatever right up front, so that we understand from the beginning that this is what Jesus is all about. And that is exactly why he came, not just to Galilee, but to Jerusalem, and eventually to Golgotha. The question for us this day is pretty simple. Are we ready to follow Christ's plan? Or are we still set on making sure that God gets forced into our plan? May God richly bless the hearing of his word and guide us into his service. Thanks be to God.